I was the first Indian at Red Bull Rabiniacs, but butter chicken and naan was there already.
What?
I told them that I'm from India, they were like, oh, butter chicken and naan. I was like, wow.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That's some identity.
Hi, I'm Shardul Shah Sharma, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Rodcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
From the 9th, India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio Rodcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniac's hard enduro rally racer on the long way home.
Shall we say Shaz?
Yeah, Shaz.
Okay, so Shaz, welcome to the Biker Radio Rodcast. Welcome to the long way home. Welcome to the India Bike Week.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me. I feel so good that
You're
we finally
welcome.
Met after so long.
I know. I've been waiting for donkey's years to meet you.
I'm so sorry. I've been always traveling here. They're pulled everywhere for the races.
And what a meteoric success you've had. I thought Enduro Rally was something, but now it's hard Enduro Rally. Wasn't Enduro Rally tough enough?
No doubt, enduro is quite difficult, challenging.
Yeah. So explain the sport to me. What is enduro?
So, hard enduro is a kind of a discipline.
Okay.
Which is the most extreme in off-road.
Okay.
So extreme in a way that most of the tracks are single tracks. Single tracks, say 5 feet wide.
Okay.
And a person has to commit to it mentally too. It's just not about the physical fitness.
Right.
The obstacles sometimes are way beyond difficult. You know, like. I remember a log section, so there were logs on the track and logs were like 3 feet big.
Yeah.
But the logs were not on a straight line. It was right. An uphill climb and there were over 90 logs in that section.
Oh my God.
So a person should know how to do a double blip or a triple blip. These are some enduro, super enduro techniques.
Okay, so jumping over
one
of them is
making contact on the first tire, like your front tire, you make a contact and then you just blip it and both the tires go ahead.
Oh.
And it was a commitment that you have to do it for 90 times in one run, you know, like you have to just keep on hopping. And I'll tell you one more funny thing, you know, there was one log 10 feet big. So I was like, you can't jump this. And I'm waiting there just like a fool, you know, what to do now. And then I saw a guy who was behind me. He just came. He was down on his knees and he was like crawling below the tree, you know, and he made it through. And I was like, damn, I need to crawl also now. So I was like, oh man, I'm going back to my childhood. Like what I'm doing with the motorcycle. So yeah, it was.
Let's go back to the childhood. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
I hear you're a Dune boy.
Yeah, I'm from Dehradun.
Okay. So,
Sida Pahar se.
Hey, lovely. So where does it start?
So motorsport came into my life.
No, forget motorsport. Tell me about your family first.
So in my family, I have my father and my mother.
Yeah.
My mother is very, very supportive and I think
really?
She would have done extreme sports if she was born in our era. But my dad coming is a very, very like great guy, but a shrewd North Indian parent who only give you option to become a doctor or maybe an engineer or maybe a class one officer.
Yeah, understand
because
that.
For him, it was about, you know, carrying that white collar thing of the family.
Yes.
And I'm not even the black, I'm the purple sheep.
No, I should call it, what is this color? Electric blue?
Yeah, I like to wear different styles and designs.
No, your hair is electric blue today.
Yep.
It's awesome.
So wearing helmet, I lose a lot of hair. So before I go totally bald, so I want to try more.
Tell me about it.
Yep.
It's actually the helmet that did this.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Like, so you grew up in siblings, brother, sister, only child?
I used to have a sister, but I lost her recently.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
She was mentally special, like she was mentally challenged.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but
how's the family dealing with it?
Family's dealing fine. I brought them to Bangalore, then I drove them to Goa. So I'm trying to give them time.
Oh, they're here?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So how long back was that?
This was in October 31st.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But then, see, for me, I'm happy that she's in a better world, you know, like suffering for someone being like that is not easy.
Yeah.
And my parents is also growing old.
Yeah.
They retired this year already.
Yes.
So I wanted them to, you know, like, and they will never give their children to a nanny or someone.
Yeah.
So it was difficult for them, the challenge.
But this is awesome. You brought them over. You're having a good time. You are at the IBW.
Yeah. I'm growing.
And you're doing so well.
I think this is the beginning, but thank you for the appreciation.
Yes,
There's a lot to do.
I'm sure.
Red Bull Romaniacs was the world toughest hard enduro race, but more than being tough, you know, it was like building a bridge.
Yeah.
So the culture of hard enduro is in a way that even a kid can race it, or even a veteran above 60 can race it.
Really?
You need to be fit to race it.
Oh.
Biker Radio Podcast advises safety at all times, discourages underage riding, but celebrates the spirit of motorcycling.
And how?
This is Tango Charlie, Green Tea 515. Come in. Green Tea. Good morning, Tango Charlie. This is Easy Peter, Green Tea 515. I'm ready to roll. See you in 5 at the DND Bay. Over and out.
Welcome to the 90th milestone of the Biker Radio Broadcast, a podcast on motorcycling from India, celebrating her heroic riders, legendary mechanics and iconic builders through stories told by members of the community, one legend at a time. I'm Shandy, and with me at the 90th milestone is a 90s kid on wheels of fury. Great way to bring up the 90s, eh? Shardul shot into fame when he nonchalantly walked into the Red Bull Romaniacs, what can be considered as the toughest motorcycle race known to boyhood, and into the category that's reserved for none lesser than warriors, the Iron Class. That's the class where adrenaline becomes hemoglobin. If you win, you are Thor. If you complete the race, you are man. Shardul is the first boy from India to complete the race, and that's the nut he wears in his helmet. Below this soft-spoken demeanor flows liquid lava. Its energy tameable only by a power that is equally raging. Meet fear, vulnerability, threat, challenge and insecurity. That's what he thrives on. That's his automatic trigger. He hates them. No task is unsurmountable. Bring it on. And therefore, I am. That in a crankcase is Shardul Sharma, aka Shaz. Don't think so? You want it from the horse's mouth, nay?
I'll tell you a story from Romaniacs, okay? So. Yeah. On the scrutiny day, so there's an inspection day before the race.
Yeah.
It is called scrutiny and technical checks.
Yeah.
So I was sitting with some 4 or 5 English gentlemen and I told them, you know, I'm a cross-country racer from India and this is the first time I'm coming to a hard enduro event.
Yeah.
So they looked at me like, they was like, what is wrong with you, boy? Why Red Bull Romaniacs?
Yeah.
This is the most difficult race.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't have an option for anything else.
Right.
People don't know Romaniacs. How do you expect them to know anything else? So they said, you won't finish, you know, this is my 5th time, this is Daniel, it is his 7th time, this is Mark, it is his 6th time, and this is my 5th time, if I don't finish, I'm quitting. It's like,
wow.
You signed up for something wrong, you know.
Seriously?
So, I'll be honest with you, in my mind, I was like, hey, nothing like that, you know, I'm gonna take his case,
I'm gonna,
that attitude, you know, like Indian attitude of competition.
Bring it on, baby.
Tilko you overtake maruma sabse pehle. So that was there, you know, but on the 3rd day, after...
And that too, you're a party.
Yep, from the mountains. So, yes, it is an upper hand, you know. Like, I don't have that altitude thing, you know. Like, I'm not scared of some falls because some places it was really nasty. Like, if you look down, you will lose your focus. It was that bad. There's a dam below and you're riding on the top of the dam and you're negotiating to the trails, you know. One mistake is dap, you're down.
But you've done Chijoba, you've done Raid the Himalaya, you've done everything possible in this country, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's start there. Where did the ignition come in?
So
whose bike was it first?
It was my dad's bike only.
Really? What was he riding?
He used to ride a RD250 and a RX100.
Kya baat kar rahe ho? Serious guy?
Yep. So, when I was 5 years old, all my cousins, they used to watch WWF at that time, you know, on 10 Sports from 4:30 to 5.
Oh, wow.
And at 5, there used to be MotoGP.
Yeah.
So I used to watch MotoGP and take a chair and move it upside down and hold the legs like I'm holding a motorcycle and going down with Loris Capirossi 96 to the left, to the right. So it was fun, you know, that's how it kicked in. Then I got a bicycle, I started riding.
Okay.
Then once my dad gave me the throttle of his bike, you know, this is how you hold the throttle.
He did?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Five. So I
I
figured out, you know, like how to hold the throttle and stuff. Huh. Then I asked him, what is this? He said, brake, clutch. Then he taught me, just as a kid, you know, like to a kid who has, let's say...
What's his name? What's your dad's name?
B.M. Sharma, Mr. B.M. Sharma.
B.M. Sharma. Sharmaji, I am impressed. You gave the throttle to this man and look what he's done out of this.
So after some years, two, three years, me and my homies, we started stealing his bike, you know. He used to be in office and we used to steal his bike.
Yeah.
And started down the hill because that time locks and all was there but not that functional. So most of the two strokes were like, you know, you can just start them with the gear.
Yeah.
So me and my boys used to ride and we used to think that my dad has put a secret password or a lock on the bike that will only run for some time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that a carburetor, there is off, on or reserve.
Yeah.
So we used to ride the bike on off.
And then push it.
Till the time it comes like 200, 300 meter, ride it. And the moment the bike is dying down, I used to look for a wall where I can just park the bike and come off it.
Okay.
Or maybe circular ground, and when the bike is too slow, jump off the bike. And every day my dad used to come back and look at his engine guard. He used to be like, why? Who's riding my bike? Why is this getting bent?
Right.
And mother was sleeping. So that's how innovation took place. You know, like stealing and riding his motorcycle.
For a lot of us, it started that way.
Yeah. Then... In 2006-07, I started watching videos, you know, on YouTube, and I used to see people stunt riding, and there was a huge stunt riding community on a website called Orkut back then.
Oh, yes. You're also an Orkut boy.
Yeah. So I'm from the 90s.
Wow.
So that time, I got introduced to a lot of people in Pune and Bangalore who used to actually ride.
Really?
And then I had in my mind, you know, I really want to do this thing. I have to take this forward.
Okay.
So I started stunt riding and I was a rebel kid.
But whose bikes? Where do you get the bike from? What motorcycle? Dad's motorcycle?
Nope. So I started on a moped, on a scooty.
Really?
Hi, this is Nosh, and you're on the Biker Radio Broadcast.
From the 9th, India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio Broadcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniac's hard enduro rally racer on the long way home.
So my dad gave me a challenge that if I get, say, 100 in three subjects, physics, chemistry, maths.
Kya baat kar rahe ho?
Yeah, in my 9th standard, in 8th standard, he'll get me a scooter. So somehow, not 100, but I managed something, okay?
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I'll get you a scooter.
Yeah.
And I think that was his biggest mistake. That first mistake was to teach me how to control a throttle, and second was giving me a Dio. And then friendship happened. One of my best friends, Lakshya Khanduri, the founder of Team Evolution.
Yeah.
He started sneaking out.
Lucky. I've heard that name.
Yeah. He started sneaking out from the school, and we used to bunk and practice and stuff, you know, like... Two boys on one moped, dashing 50 rupees, and petrol was cheap, 35 rupees.
Yes.
So we used to do whatever we could, you know, and then dress up again and go back to home, say we are coming from school. So that's how it started.
Wow.
Then I lost focus from studies for a few months.
Sure.
But then I got back on track because machines really fascinated me.
Right.
So my dad, then I had a word with my dad and I told him that I want to do this motorsport seriously and take this passion forward.
Yeah.
So he told me that you have to go through the basic cycle of life. You have to get educated and you have to join a college, university.
Yeah.
So then he gave me a challenge that if you join university, I'll try and support you.
Okay.
Yeah. So after my 12th standard, I joined Delhi University and then my dad said, okay, I'll get you a bike. He got me a bike.
Yeah.
Then I went for a race in Mumbai. Again on the same moped. I want to start with my moped. So I went to the race on that moped, sitting in train to 2 days, and then bringing my scooty out, everyone asking me that UK, where is this bike from? Like, and I'm like, Uttarakhand, man, not United Kingdom. I won my first race. It was a good start.
Okay.
And I really got confident and I started racing around.
Yeah.
So it has been a long journey, but a great
journey.
What
was the first race?
Gulf Monsoon Scooter Rally. And that gentleman who used to do it, he's a very senior guy, Mr. Srikant Kirani.
Okay.
He has been in the sport from past 40 years and he has developed some 100 champions, I feel. So kudos to that guy, man.
He gave me support
and he told me that if you really love the sport, you got to be consistent.
Wow. And so the consistency started immediately after you got back to Dehradun?
Yeah. So I didn't have much tracks there.
Yeah.
At that time, I used to think like riding is only motocross and like, you know, it's only about the mud tracks rather than the enduro. Never happened, you know. Like I was on a moped, so it was very different.
A lot of our listeners don't know the difference between dirt riding and enduro. Can you explain? So it's dirt tracks, everyone understands, right?
So dirt track is on a flat, like a flat surface.
Yeah.
Modulations are created.
Okay.
Like they are created by machines and humans, by earth shaping. And it's a format which runs for a shorter time.
What about the trails where you kind of, you know, ride into the forest? And
so when we ride into the forest and we commit to some endurance climbs,
yes,
like one is giving gas to go fast and one is giving gas in order to, you know, able to climb that climb, or
right,
maybe using both of your brakes to come down a climb,
right?
So enduro is about endurance also,
right?
So in Romaniacs it was 100 kilometers a day,
right?
But it was one shot and the only break was 20 minutes to fix yourself and your bike.
God.
It was not like that. You can, you know, you can wait and you can half sip water and then you can go. Then there is delay in the next start.
Mm.
It was all like electrical, you know,
yeah,
one circuit to second, second to third. So it was like doing a HIT on my motorcycle.
Okay.
But yes, that's endurance.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here and you're listening to the Biker Radio broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
From the 9th India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio broadcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniacs hard enduro rally racer, on the long way home.
So my dad gave me a challenge that if I get, say, 100 in three subjects, physics, chemistry, maths.
Kya baat kar rahe ho? PCM?
Yeah, in my 9th standard, in 8th standard, he'll get me a scooter. So somehow, not 100, but I managed something, okay?
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, I'll get you a scooter.
Yeah.
And I think he calls it like that. That was his biggest mistake. That first mistake was to teach me how to control a throttle, and second was giving me a Dio. And then friendship happened. One of my best friends, Lakshya Khanduri, the founder of Team Evolution.
Yeah.
He started sneaking out.
Lucky. Yeah. I've heard that name.
Yeah. He started sneaking out from the school and we used to bunk and practice and stuff, you know, like two boys on one moped, dashing 50 rupees, and petrol was cheap, 30 35 rupees.
Yes.
So we used to do whatever we could, you know, and then dress up again and go back to home, say we are coming from school. So that's how it started.
Wow.
Then I lost focus from studies for a few time, like few months.
Sure.
But then I got back on track because machines really fascinated me.
Right.
So my dad, then I had a word with my dad and I told him that I want to do this motorsport seriously and take this passion forward.
Yeah.
So he told me that you have to go through the basic cycle of life. You have to get educated and you have to join a college, university.
Yeah.
So then he gave me a challenge that if you join university, I'll try and support you.
Okay.
Yeah. So after my 12th standard, I joined Delhi University and then my dad said, okay, I'll get you a bike. He got me a bike.
Yeah.
Then I went for a race in Mumbai. Again on the same moped. I want to start with my moped. So I went to the race on that moped, sitting in train to 2 days and then bringing my scooty out, everyone asking me that UK, where is this bike from? Like, and I'm like, Uttarakhand, man, not United Kingdom. I won my first race. It was a good start.
Okay.
And I really got confident and I started racing around.
Yeah.
So it has been a long journey, but a great
journey. What was the first race?
Gulf Monsoon Scooter Rally.
Wow.
Yeah. And that gentleman who used to do it, he's a very senior guy, Mr. Srikant Kirani.
Okay.
He has been in the sport from past 40 years and he has developed some 100 champions, I feel. So kudos to that guy, man.
Yeah,
he gave me a support and he told me that if you really love the sport, you got to be consistent.
Wow.
And so the consistency started immediately after you got back to Dehradun?
Yeah, so I didn't have much tracks there.
Yeah.
At that time, I used to think like riding is only motocross and like, you know, it's only about the mud tracks rather than the enduro. Never happened, you know. Like I was on a moped, so it was very different.
A lot of our listeners don't know the difference between dirt riding and enduro. Can you explain? So it's dirt tracks, everyone understands, right?
So dirt track is on a flat, like a flat surface.
Yeah.
Modulations are created.
Okay.
Like they are created by machines and humans, by earth shaping, and it's a format which runs for a shorter time.
Oh, that's a... What about the trails where you kind of, you know, ride into the forests and...
So when we ride into the forest and we commit to some endurance climbs,
yes,
like one is giving gas to go fast and one is giving gas in order to, you know, able to climb that climb, or
right,
maybe using both of your brakes to come down a climb.
Right.
So enduro, and enduro is about endurance also.
Right.
So in Romaniacs, it was 100 kilometers a day.
Right.
But it was one shot and the only break was 20 minutes to fix yourself and your bike.
Oh my God.
It was not like that you can, you know, you can wait and you can half sip water and then you can go. Then there is delay in the next start.
Hmm.
It was all like electrical, you know.
Yeah.
One circuit to second, second to third. So it was like doing a HIT on my motorcycle.
Okay.
But yes, that's endurance is about.
Hi, this is Ashish Rao Rani, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Okay, time now for a short break, but listen up. If you are from any of these four states, Jammu and Kashmir, Ladakh, Himachal Pradesh, or Uttarakhand, or if you know someone deserving from these states, there is an opportunity to work with the communities of the Western Himalayas. You can learn essential teamwork skills such as filmmaking and storytelling, focused on conservation and the intangible cultural heritage of the region. Now, the Green Hub Western Himalayas Fellowship 2024 is a residential fellowship, a collaborative effort by Dusty Foot and Royal Enfield. Selected candidates could be part of this exciting opportunity. So if you're from these states or know someone who fits the bill, direct them to dustyfootfoundation.org or greenhubindia.net. Once again, dustyfootfoundation.org or greenhubindia.net. But remember, come 5th December, the opportunity to apply will have passed like a snowflake on a hot exhaust. Imagine a year-long residency in the lap of the Himalayas. But back on Skid Row with our 90s kid on the long way home, let's once again say hi to Shaz.
Hi, this is Shardul Shaz Sharma
on the Bike Radio Broadcast.
And this is the long way home.
From the 9th India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio Broadcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniac's hard enduro rally racer, on the long way home.
You know, the other thing I found out through Dax here is that you guys have a very unique culture in Dehradun. There's music, there is art, there is rap, there is a subculture. And it is unique to Dehradun for the reason Dehradun has been, in my opinion, very close to Rishikesh. And ever since the Beatles got here in the 70s, there has always been this movement to kind of explore. So do you find any of that in what you have been experiencing? Is this really there, or are we making it up?
See, if we talk about Beatles or we talk about other people from, amazing people from that era,
yeah,
Dehradun actually really have a great rock and metal culture.
Yes.
They're amazing artists, you know, from that time.
And it's always been that.
It's always been that. Coming to extreme sports, say stunt riding, say in music, hip hop or graffiti, which you were talking about, it started with us, to be very honest. In 2007, 2008, me and my best friend Lakshya Khanduri,
yeah,
we pulled a team up called Team Evolution.
Yeah.
And from their Team Evolution, like most of the boys of that era, like they evolved into their genres and, you know, So one guy said, I'm going to customize bike. The other guy said, I'm going to race motorcycles.
Yeah, who are the names? Take some names.
So there's one of my brother called Ujwal Negi.
Mm.
So he's a really great artist. He runs a company by the name called Illegal Things. He and his brother Abhishek Yadav, they both do crazy stuff.
Which is what?
And I'm wearing the logo as my, this thing, and the logo is on my skin also.
Wow.
So,
metal art, what are they into?
They are into graffiti, they are into every kind of art, you know, from bringing a rusted motorcycle to life to bringing a wall back to, you know, life.
Yes, I saw the walls.
Yeah, painting me or taking care of my gears, you know, creating something different, you know, like telling the world out there that this is Indian fashion, this is also how we can do.
And the music, I mean, there's a lot of music happening.
Yes,
right?
So the music also is around us. My man Daket, Aniket, Two Fisted, Upen, they all create music around us. There are moments, you know, where I feel that, I shouldn't be doing this, you know, why I'm doing this with my life.
Yeah.
And I listen to his song and it says, tu chalte rahe, tu chalte rahe, nothing will happen, you know, like, they motivate me and they tell me that push more and more.
Right.
So it has been a very mutual thing, and we respect each other in a way that love has created this personality out
of
me.
It's amazing. The videos are like so gripping, you know. I'm going to come to Dehradun and see all
of
this.
Please be our guest. We're going to have a great time.
I was there a couple of years back before the corona. I met Arjun Raina from Moto Exotica.
Yeah, great guy.
What a rock star, man. And Prankur Rana, who runs the cafe there.
Yeah.
So these two guys I met. But I'm sure Dehradun is full of... There's so much motorcycling there. Where is it coming from, dude?
I don't know, man. And I remember when I was riding, there was nothing, you know. Like, there were seniors like Arjun Bhaiya used to race. But there were senior riders and they were there.
There was somebody called Bobby. We were very, very old.
Bobby Uncle.
Bobby Uncle.
So
he used to have tons and tons of Harleys and he had memorabilia.
Vintage bikes
and stuff. Obviously, he passed away a few years back. You know, we were so sorry that we didn't get to meet him and, you know, have a chat, because we've been trying to document all the people out there. But then Dehradun, wow, it's like a gold mine there, man.
Yeah, and what I feel with Dehradun is Dehradun has a great schooling culture.
Yes.
So everyone gets educated well.
Yes.
Thanks to that. And then they get the opportunity to explore.
And, you know, self-express.
Yeah, they can self-express. And with its city has a mix of a city and then 15 minutes and you're out. You're out in the mountains. You're in the Himalayas. And not that high Himalayas. So you can enjoy your time there.
That's what Arjun was talking about, the trails, you know, from there. Riding the back, there were Malsi Hills,
So yes, and for my enduro also, so when I was chasing Supercross in rally, I was doing it, you know, but naturally I always told my friends, you know, whenever a mountain section used to come, they used to ask me, Shadul, what will your strategy, people are poking me, and one day one of my good friends, he was poking me, Shadul, how you gonna perform in this race? I was like, man, for me it is like my mother is saying, go bring some milk to the house.
Right.
So I just wear my chappal and take the scooter out, and it's a grocery run, and I'm back, and it's all ghat section only, so this doesn't scare me.
Hi, this is Arjun Raina from Moto Exotica, and I'm here at the Biker Radio Broadcast.
From the 9th India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio Broadcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniac's hard enduro rally racer, on the long way home.
I started with Gulf Monsoon.
Yeah.
Then I went to Desert Storm, Sajoba, Red
Bull
Himalaya.
You went to Desert Storm first and then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Desert Storm first without any preparation, you know, and just
lovely.
Just straight out of college. Hello, I'm here.
Did you get slapped or?
Yeah. Yes.
Sandpapered.
Yeah, man. And I've never been to desert before. I've only seen it on Discovery TV. And I'm out in the desert. I'm like, and I'm wearing a jacket because in mountains it is winters and February. And I'm like, why isn't it cold? And then my friend offered me something to eat, you know, which was full of oil. I said, why? Why it is so spicy and oily?
Yeah.
So it's like, this is the culture, man. You have to respect it.
Yeah. In the desert, you got to wear something like this, man.
Yeah, it was bad. I didn't know how to ride.
And right.
I fell so many times and I was ashamed, but still, you know.
But it was a learning experience.
Yeah, right? I didn't quit. So I still finished overall sixth.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, with a seized engine. I was giving engine oil every day to my bike, like 6-7 liters I put in my bike, and CS Santosh and this other guy, Suresh Babu, was there from Team Suzuki at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just gifted, keep on gifting me engine oil. Like, they pitied me. Like, they were like, it's just a young kid trying to do something. So they were like, come on.
That's
bro.
So supportive.
Yeah, culture has been quite supportive, you know. Yeah. At my first race also, I had a lot of people helping me, like Arjun Raina helped me.
Yeah.
Then I had a friend called Shah Alam. He came with me to Shimla just to flag me off, you know, because they were so proud that after 10 years, a boy is coming from our town and going for Raid the Himalaya.
Okay.
So it was a great experience.
And how was the Raid the Himalaya?
It was great, man. Like,
you've done quite, maybe two, three of them?
Two, three of them. And the first one, that one, I was on a scooter, you know. So I will say it was great, but I'll tell you later.
No, go ahead, tell me.
So on a scooter, it was stupid.
Okay, yeah, of course it is stupid. It was, and that's awesome, man.
It was so foolish to ride my scooter up at 4:30 a.m., 5:30 at Rohtang Pass. I can't see anything. There's fog, there's cold water, black ice, and scooter is not running. It's 20 kmph or 15 kmph. And I'm just, you know, trying to get up. Then at Kumzumla Pass, the culture says, like, how it goes, that we all respect the mother. Kumzumla is actually a name of a mata in their culture, or say in Hindu culture also.
Yeah.
That day I met the mata, you know, because I was not able to climb the scooter, so I was pushing the scooter on 16,000 feet. So I actually felt that I am gone now, you know, like I could see the god within and outside.
Yeah.
So it was awful, but then at the downhill I was overtaking boys on my motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like, no, the guys were on the motorcycle, I know I was on a moped.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the case, you know, on the downhill, because it is something naturally coming from the mountains.
Yeah.
So I was faster on the downhill section where I don't need power. So it was great. It was a great experience to learn.
That was
from
your first Raid the Himalaya.
Yeah, first.
Which year was that?
This was 2013.
When was the next one?
Next one was 16, I think.
Okay. 16. And did you do another one then?
I don't think so. I think two Raid the Himalayas and then Rally of Himalaya.
Acha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
And then I did the INRC rounds, Baroda, Indore, Coimbatore and all. It was also great learning and fun.
Yeah.
Then I was into Supercross.
Yeah.
I was racing a race in Nasik, and I was racing my friend's bike, KX250, and I went in air and the engine got cut. So I just landed nose down and the bike landed on my collar. So the impact was so intense that, you know, I could feel that bike pump on my collar and I can see my bones moving out. And then riding in the ambulance, and I'm like, okay, the race is done. So for me, more than the pain was there that race is done. I can't race that race. But then after 15-20 days, I came back for the rally.
Yeah.
So it has been always cat and mouse with me and my body and mentally, you know.
How's your body feeling? I mean, you know, you put yourself through brutal shit.
See, before retiring from the sport, I really need to figure out a hospital as a good sponsor. Because I need to go through a lot of surgeries. I need to replace some parts.
Yeah.
And I want to invest in international parts. So maybe a sponsor from Europe America who can say, okay, 20 lakh rupees for your injuries.
It is a brutal sport, isn't it?
Yep. But that's the fun of it, you know.
Yeah. I heard something very interesting last week. And a lot of people were complaining for a long time that, you know, motorsport is not supported in India by the government. And I'm hearing that there's some big policy changes coming, where motorsport will now become legal.
Okay.
And how have you seen in these years, I mean, you're a 90s kid, right? So 90s to here, how have you seen it evolve?
I would say, apart from some people trying to give their 100% to survive the sport, sport has only degraded from the time it was, say, the 80s or maybe 70s, when the Prime Minister used to flag off the race from the JLN Stadium, and convoys used to come down from Europe, like caravans used to come, and whole Volkswagen team, and people from all over the world. So people, a lot of people don't know this, but actually Dakar came out of India, you know, because before Dakar there used to be a race called the GDH, Great Desert Himalayan.
Yes.
It used to start near Gujarat and end in Ladakh.
Yes.
So that era was very different, and it was a super elite sport. Right. Motorsport is a very expensive sport.
Yes, it is.
Like, it's not like you buy a bat or a ball and you can go to any field.
Was that Nazir Hussain who was doing it? I think Vijay Parmar was telling us all about
it. Yeah, Nazir was the gentleman, and he is in London now, I think. He's working there with the FIA, the International Federation.
Okay.
So that time was very different, and in the 2000s, what I've seen is sponsors supporting one sport, but one rally or one stuff, and then they're running away from it in the second run or in the third run. So for the organizer also, it becomes very challenging, you know. Having a sponsor is a very big thing.
Yes.
And with the influence of other sports, like not to be precise with any sport, but sports with a higher fan base, like people who watch those sports, or the people, sports with a culture of betting and stuff, it has killed the rest of the sport, which cannot be, you know, like motorsport, you can't, it is very difficult to cheat.
Right.
Like, either the person has sold his soul that he wants to come second or third, or it is impossible for someone to cheat, because people, it's a single guy sport, one person fighting the other person. And so because of the influence of betting and the culture, you know, where people can actually earn out of watching a sport, it has killed other sports.
Okay.
And with motorsport in India, we have a very aggressive style of road sense. Like, everyone is aggressive on the road and everyone is running late. So people are already going fast. So motorsport is looking like more of a hooligan kind of a sport, where people think that they want to freak out and they'll harm the society or something like that. But my message to the general public is, if you really want to save kids, you know, who die on the road or who do reckless stuff and kill people on the road, you give them a platform.
Yeah.
So in America, before America got the skating culture, before the skating rinks came up,
right,
the skate parks, people used to do it on the road and a lot of people used to die.
Right.
But then the government came up with a plan where they made skate parks in every county, in every place, every society, they had skate parks.
Hi, this is Koka Rao, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
From the 9th India Bike Week in Goa, this is the Biker Radio Broadcast with Shardul Sharma, Red Bull Romaniac's hard enduro rally racer, on the long way home.
If you were given the opportunity to, let's say, become the transport minister or the sports minister or something, you know, what would you like to see in this new India for your sport?
For my sport, I would love to see, you know, like actual veterans who have been great champions and people, not just champions, people who have been active with the sport.
Yes.
Getting the freedom of expression, you know, and being able to do sports.
Okay.
And then I would love to see different state jerseys, you know, like people representing Kerala, people representing Delhi, people representing, say, Haryana, and different, like each other's, every sport is like that, you know, nationals and stuff. Because what I know is we have a lot of talent in India, and there's n number of riders who can put their heart and soul to the sport.
Right.
And we have a very big advantage of terrain.
What about infrastructure? That's exactly what I was going to ask you.
So, absolutely, race tracks to start with beginners, and a proper race school where people can balance their studies and balance their... I want everyone to study too, like, you know. With the sport also, a lot of people just do sports and quit studies. But what I feel, thanks to my parents, that they they send me through the traditional way, and I had to study and do my part. So it helps you with the sport also, with your thinking on the slopes, with your thinking of the sport, and how you think about your tuner or your manager or people around. It makes you more mature. So maybe with a proper education, say schools which have motorsport as a facility in them, and people can learn there, train there, apart from them having a India team. So most of the international countries have their KTM racing teams.
Right.
Compared to India, where India owns 49% of KTM globally, India doesn't have a single team.
Well.
So it feels sad. And with coming to factories, factory racing in India, if we say we have two factory racing teams, both the teams are specifically into one type of sport, say rally.
Right.
They're not into international supercross, they're not into international enduro, they're not into international road
racing. So there's enough scope to grow into.
There's a lot of scope, you know.
Yeah.
Seeing at the masses of the population of the country, there's a very great scope.
Right.
And if me being in the ministry, I would love to give people, you know, opportunities around it.
Right.
Just not for the people who are racing hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me being an athlete, I won't be partial here that only for the athletes.
Right.
Because an athlete is nothing without an organizer or nothing
Absolutely.
Without a person like you who can be the expression, you know. No, I'm being honest here. I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I'm just documenting this.
So we need people who document and, you know, listen to it, and people realize how important and what amazing culture this is. Say if in a city we have two tracks or three tracks, and every city we have that. So the amount of accident that happens on road, or all the kids that freak out and do, they'll have their motorcycles parked inside the track.
Right.
And they'll be walking or taking public transport to the colleges and schools.
Yeah.
One, we'll be saving fuel.
Yeah.
Second, less people on the road.
Yeah.
Third, people who wants to freak out will freak out in the right way with the right safety gear.
Yes.
Because in racetrack, no one is coming from
exactly.
front.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. You know, we need racetracks. We need infrastructure to invite them from the traffic. You know, leave
yeah.
the traffic alone. Come and have some fun instead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Vijay Parmar, and you're listening to the Biker Radio broadcast.
The Biker Radio broadcast is blessed to have had immersive, enduring chats with all the people you've heard on this episode, and more that you can find at Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and most other podcast streaming platforms. Although Alexa seems to get herself all twisted up, perhaps with the tongue twister that is Biker Radio Broadcast. Okay, our auditorium though is at www.bikerradiobroadcast.com, where there is more of the goodies. All right, so talk of tongue twisters, we have Shardul Shaz Sharma. How's that for an alliteration? Well, he's been on our show when we met him at the India Bike Week in Goa. That's coming up on the 8th and 9th of December, right after the Green Hub Western Himalayas Fellowship 2024 applications closed. Remember, that's on the 5th of December, okay? So, we'll be back on the 8th December, same day as the 10th India Bike Week starts. So, get your tickets, babua. Time to go to Goa. Until then, be good, and if you can't be good, be careful. And bittersweet and a little sour, I'm Shandy. Remember me from the JK Tire Matchless Music Hour? You're on the 90th milestone of the Biker Radio broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on. But before I sign off, I had one last question for Shaz, and I asked him about his plans for the road ahead.
I'm going to be racing in Europe. I'm going to be racing a race called Erzberg. It happens at an iron ore mine in Austria.
Uh-huh.
And you have to climb up the mine and take 3 laps of it.
Uh-huh.
So it is also a brutal race, but I'm looking forward to it. I'll be competing with some 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 1,500 people on the start line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and after that, I'm planning Alpstone. Alpstone is a race in Italy,
okay.
which is famous for its rocks. Like, you have to do
okay.
a lot of rock business. Yeah, you'll be
right.
rock climbing on a motorcycle.
Right, right.
Then Romaniacs for sure.
Wow.
And then there is a race called Hispania that
okay.
happens in Spain.
Okay.
So these are the 4 rounds of the National World Championship which I want to participate in.
Okay.
And I'm trying to work out with sponsors as much as I can.
Right.
Because I'll be very honest with you, Sandy.
Yeah.
I approached 750 brands for Romaniacs.
Wow.
And the funnel came down to 7. And out of those 7...
1%.
Yeah, out of those 1%, those were the people who I knew personally, you know.
Right.
Like, they had that soft corner and they have seen me hustle through my sports.
Who are these people? Tell me.
These amazing people are like one of my previous bosses.
Okay.
Mr. Arvind Balan.
Okay.
He heads a team called Team Experience. It's a event company in Gurgaon.
Okay.
So then the moment I told him that I am doing this, he was like straight up, he's like, we are doing this. You're going.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Balan.
He started putting out mails, you know. He was like, yeah. he just changed his role from a managing director of a company to a manager, you know.
Right.
So he started sending out mails, asking those people that this is talent we have from India, then helping me with my license.
Yes.
So I had to submit my license of Indian Federation and take the European Federation license.
Okay.
So that was also a process which he helped me with.
Okay.
And then there is my one sponsor called Harji Motorsports.
Oh yeah.
So Harji Motorsports has been a pillar from a long time.
Yes.
And that guy also straight up, he was so happy that I'm going to be racing this.
Yeah.
So he straight up said, we are always with you.
Oh wow.
Then I had a Mr. Shyam Kothari, Godspeed Ooh. Racing. Ooh. So I asked him when I was going, you know, and just 1 week before I was going, he just transferred money and he said, I was waiting for a work.
Icon, an icon so, in our country. It was all of these names are iconic.
It was an emotion, you know, like people came out and they helped me. One of my friend's mother, you know, I've met that lady just once in my life in Bangalore. And the moment my friend Achin told her about the about my expedition, she straight up said, okay, let him finalize the entry. And entry was some 1890 euros, somewhere close to 1.5 lakh rupees.
Mm.
And she just gave it. Mm. She was like, go son, I want you to race. This is for India. So it has been very heartwarming, you know.
It's great.
There was moments in the race, you know, when I was done. Because first day when I was thinking of those gentlemen telling me that this is the hardest race, and on the fifth day.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, did you kick ass?
Yeah, but you know, on the fifth day, I saw people 6'6", 6'7" of height crying inside the race, you know, because they were like, we can't do this now.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
This is so difficult, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And to myself also, I was like, why I signed up for this, you know, I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
But then I closed my eyes and I visualized, you know, all these people and my parents. And it was a different feeling, you know, like I have goosebumps right now while talking about this.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I said to myself, no, I'm here, you know, I'm not here just for me. It's not just my race. It is for each and every Indian who believes that they can race internationally.
Yes.
They can be there at the World Championship.
Absolutely.
So I have to build this bridge, you know, I have to prove. After breaking my ankle also, I was in bad pain, you know.
Yeah.
And I had to still go some 15 kilometers more for the race to finish. I rode.
You broke an ankle?
Yeah, I broke an ankle in the race and I rode with a broken ankle and a broken ligament on my left wrist. I duct taped my left wrist because I didn't. This was falling down.
Yeah.
So I didn't want that motion to go down because I need this to be stiff to hold the bike.
Okay.
So now I had duct tape in my this hydration pack. I just duct taped my hand, not thinking about the waxing part of it later.
Yeah.
And for my leg, I knew till the time it is in boot, I won't be able to break it further.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about it.
Oh my God.
I had to cut one of my boots latch to take out my leg because
it was
like a pumpkin. But
oh my God,
it was great, man. You know, the feeling for being for India and doing for my country, and so many people. I was getting so many messages, so many that, you know.
Yes.
They were not saying all the best, they were like, we are proud of you, thank you that you are doing this. So that feeling, you know, for that feeling, the game changes.
On behalf of you, I'd like to thank all the people who supported you. And I'd like to invite people who are listening in to think about what kind of support they can provide. You know, you guys are all connected, guys. Come on, just pick up your phone, do something. Let's take this forward. Shardul Sharma Shaz, thank you so much for being on the Biker Radio broadcast. And thank you so much for being on The Long Way Home. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's always a great experience to meet you.
Thank you.
Brap.
Biker Radio Podcast advises safety at all times, discourages underage riding, but celebrates the spirit of motorcycling.
And how?
The Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on, ride on. Ride on.